and children. All right, let's see. You want to hold that for me? And let's see. You're going to hold that for me? All right. How about that? Huh? Yeah. See. You know what that is, Miles? What is that? Do you know what that is? Do you know what that word is? Drill. Okay. You know what that is? Yeah. What does it look like?
I know what that looks like.
All right. What is it that I just gave you guys? What are all those things?
Manuals.
They're owner's manuals, aren't they? What good are what do owner's manuals tell us?
How to, do something. Put it together.
How to put it together, how to use it. Does it tell you how to do it safely?
Yes.
So you don't get hurt, and how to keep it, maintain it. All right, Becca, what you got there? What's that one? What? Yep, what is that? What do you think that is?
I do not know.
A shaver, yeah. It is a...
I do not know what this thing is.
No, that's a... Just say, we'll get to it. It's a... trim up my beard and my mustache and my sideburns and stuff like that. So you've got the trimmer. Now, this is a multifunctional oscillating cutting tool. Do you think I could use that on my beard? No, that wouldn't be.
Never figured that out.
Never, that wouldn't be cool. What's that one? What does it look like?
It looks like a vacuum cleaner.
Like a weed eater? Would a weed eater work good on my face to cut my beard?
No.
It'll
cut up your face.
Cut up my face. How about a lawnmower? Would that be cool?
No.
No, and I probably couldn't use a cordless drill either. I don't want to poke holes in it. Or put my face on a table saw. No. So they help us to be safe, and they help us to tell how we're supposed to use something.
You wouldn't go like this.
Yeah. Now, do you know that? Chop my head off. Yeah. Do you guys know that you have owner's manuals too?
Yes, I know that. My dad works on cars.
No, but I mean you have an owner's manual. There's an owner's manual for you. Owner's manual for you. Owner's manual for you. Do you know that?
I have a thing it tells you how to crack one of the hatchable eggs open. That's kind of like a
Yeah. What's your owner's manual? The Bible. That's right. The Bible is your owner's manual. You know what the word Bible stands for?
So it's like the Bible.
Basic instruction before leaving Earth. It tells you everything you're supposed to do before you leave Earth to go where?
So it's like the Bible.
To heaven. So it tells us how we live our lives.
So the Bible is like everybody in the whole wide world. It's the Bible's everybody.
Manual. Yep. So, Jesus said that this is very important to us. If we put the scripture up there, we'll see. Somebody want to read it out loud for us? You can read it up on the screen up there or in the back. Anybody want to read it for me? Who can read it? Okay, go. What does it say?
It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says.
Yeah. Jesus said that we can't just live by bread alone, but we have to do everything. What's in this book is for our own good. So is there things in there that tell us what we're supposed to eat?
No.
Yep. There's a diet guide in there. Tells us that we're supposed to exercise.
Yes.
Yep. God put Adam in the garden. He said, made him to work. He's supposed to do physical labor. So there's that. Did you know that at the tomb, Mary ran to the tomb to find Jesus, and how far was that? You know, approximately a 5K road race.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Peter and John raced there too, and John won. So there's all kinds of things in the Bible that we didn't know about. Yeah. So we have an owner's manual too. Your mom and dad hopefully are using it, but you need to learn it as well, because the more you learn about it, the more you're going to know how Jesus wants us to live and to make him happy. All right? So make sure that you're reading your Bibles. Make sure that mom and dad are helping you with that and sharing stories. Yes, I need those back so I can go home and trim my beard. All right, let's pray. Remember, read your Bibles, your owner's manual, so you know what's going on. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that you've given us an owner's manual that we can live our life accordingly. We know that it's for our protection and for our good to do us well. And so we ask that you would watch over us, guide us, make the words clear to us as we go. Thank you for our moms and dads and our Sunday school teachers and Kids Connect, all those who share God's word with us, that we might grow in it and begin to understand it. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You guys are off to Kids Connect. Oh my gosh. I want to apologize up front for the humidity. If it seems a little humid in here, the church is not immune from water issues, much like some of your homes. And the vents on the side of the sanctuary, the air conditioning vents, have been filled with water this weekend, and we've been pumping them out, but it's still a little bit humid in here, so we apologize for that. I'll give you an update on the next-gen remodel project. This past week, the bids went out to the contractors. We hope to have those back by mid-June. And so by that time, we'll know about who's going to be doing the work. We'll be able to figure out what the actual cost is. We won't be able to start work until probably after August. I think it's that first weekend in August. I think Monday the 5th is the first date. August 4th? 3rd. So 4th is Sunday, 5th is Monday. We have a wedding in here in August, and we don't want the place torn up and being all looking nasty when Michaela makes her walk down the aisle. So my hope a while ago was to have it all done before. We have 3 weddings this summer. We have one coming up next Sunday, or next Saturday, and the next Saturday, and then Michaela in August. So probably be able to start work after that. Take about 7 to 8 weeks to get done. We are sitting just around $190,000 out of our $300,000 seed money, and so we've got time to get that. We would like to have it by the end of June, but again, we won't really start work until August. So just catch you up a little bit on where we're going in remodel. Well, we've been talking here on Sunday mornings the past month about building a divinely designed home and what that looks like, and today we want to talk about the preparation and the guidelines for doing so. Because building a house takes some work. It takes some preparations. We have to know what the function of the home is going to be. Is it going to be for entertaining lots of people? Are we going to be socialites? Is it going to be a retreat away from the madness of the world? Is it going to be part office, part home? Are we going to work from home? Is it a home that we're going to live in for just a little while, and then when our kids are finally grown and out of the house and we're empty nesters, we're going to downsize into something else? Well, when we look at the needs of the home, we started out this whole series by talking about what needs the home needs to meet. And we talked about physical needs, of course, shelter, all of those things. We talked about mental and emotional needs. We also talked about spiritual needs. But those don't happen by accident. We have to be intentional in the designing process if we're going to be successful. And building a house, that means location, it means financing, and all the final details that are going to go into it. Who is the contractor going to be? Are they going to follow all the permits and take care of everything that needs to be done? Because every city has building codes that have to be followed. You can't just go buy tools and material and start throwing up a house. There are codes and regulations for what's going to go into the foundation, what the building material is going to be, plumbing, electrical. We talk about things like termite control, all those different kinds of codes that have to be satisfied. There are several different building codes. If you go to the City of Augusta's website, it says that they follow the international building codes. There are other codes out there as well. There is the Building Officials and Code Administrators. There's the Council of American Building Officials. Southern Building Code, Congress International. They, in the South, where there's a lot of this humidity and things, they do things just a little bit different, so they have another set of codes. Well, we as Christ followers want to begin designing our divinely designed home. We too, as we told the kids, we have a list of codes that we need to follow. And that, again, is the BIBLE, the basic instructions before leaving Earth. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He started to lay out different codes for divinely designed homes. And so we want to take a look at some of those today. So the first one is, in building the divinely designed home, we need to build on a solid foundation. And I want to here to tell you today that that solid foundation, as we look forward to three weddings this summer in our church family, is marriage itself. Marriage is the solid foundation that we need to build upon. But not just any marriage, because sometimes people get married for the wrong reason. My mom grew up in a very poor family. Her dad died. He had a lot of health problems, died when she was a junior in high school, but there were six kids. And when he died, they lived in a two-bedroom house. My grandma had a little bedroom. All six kids shared one bedroom. Two double beds. Three girls slept in one bed. Three boys slept in the other bed. And so when she graduated from high school, marriage became a way to escape poverty and to leave that situation. And she married for the wrong reason. And so we know that because there's a second marriage in her life. Some people marry, they get caught up in infatuation with somebody, with their good looks, with their personality, and with their character, or maybe the beauty of a young woman. So they marry for the wrong reason. Some marry out of a sense of time's running out kind of deal. So they settle for less than the best marriage that they can have. Remember I told you last week in the book Sacred Marriage, Gary Thomas says that maybe just happiness isn't the reason God has us be married. That marriage is part of our process of becoming holy. So if we marry just thinking that one person is going to make our life all hunky-dory and everything's going to be romantic, moonlit evenings, we've married for the wrong reason. God has the proper foundation for us laid out in Genesis chapter 2. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, the biblical word cleave, we have cleavers where we chop meat and things like that, but the biblical word cleave there is a unique, mystical kind of idea of two entirely different subjects or subject matters coming together and blending into one that can never be separated. Nothing should be able to cause a person to break that cleaving to one another. So what I need is a married couple who would like to come up here with me for just a second. Need a volunteer. Married couple. Come on. Where's your bride? I said I need two people for this. So you, right on. All right, come on, Devers. I see Ashley's getting ready to go. All right, I need you to stand and face each other, just like getting married again. Now, put your right hand up. You put your left hand up, palms together. Left hand. There we go. All right, now, and the idea of cleave is that there is nothing that can separate this unity right here. So, for example, jobs can't get in between this married couple. Their friends can't separate them. So nothing gets between them. Their hobbies, again, nothing gets between them. Outlaws, never mind. In-laws, nothing comes. Now you press tight. Here's one that it's hard to do, is your kids should never come between you and your spouse. It should never be a deciding. Another one is faith. Faith should never be something that separates us as a married couple. Anything that can come between a married couple that would cause them to split. That's God's idea for design marriage. Thank you. You guys are good. This is the idea behind cleave, that two people leave and they become one, and nothing comes between them. They are one body. No one person's independent rights, wants, or desires trumps marriage. One is always looking out for the best interests of the other in a divinely designed home. So in order to build a godly home, a divinely designed home, we need two people who first and foremost have their faith relationship in the proper place, and that is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your mind. That's the most important relationship that we will have. And then remember, too, that the word family comes from a Latin word that means servant. So Jesus came to serve and not be served. in a relationship, a marriage relationship, husband should serve wife, wife should serve husband, putting each other's needs first. Leave and cleave, become one flesh. Which leads me to the next point, and that's we have to build with the best materials available. So building codes often have a prescription list of like, what is acceptable piping for plumbing? What is acceptable wire for doing electrical? There's all kinds of standards that they have to do. So in building a home, not a house, because remember, home is a place, a house where people dwell. So what's the best material for building a home? And that is people. And then what kind of people? Well, in a divinely designed home, the people that make up the home the best would be two people on the same faith journey. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, according to the BIBLE codebook. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Now, when we unpack this, this verse was originally not intended to be about marriage, but what it was intended to be is about relationships and partnerships, like in a war. The word yoked was a military term that means ally. And so the best marriages are those who are allies together. It is hard to be an ally if you're a believer with an unbeliever. It's hard for somebody to lay their life on the line for something that they're not committed to. And so we see this word ally is probably the best way to look at it. Like-minded partners make the best marriage partners. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, it says, the oxen and the donkey are not to be yoked together. Now, the donkey, the word for donkey in the King James is not donkey. It's another word because the donkey is more stubborn than the ox. They have different ways that they're going to do things. They have different paths. They don't operate the same way. Now, I was going to use a great football analogy for this, but a better one came up this week in terms of an ally. In Florida, a deputy sheriff filed to run for election to sheriff in the next election. The problem is his sheriff is not resigning or retiring or anything. In Florida, there is a law that says if a deputy files to run against the existing sheriff, he can be terminated. Because that sheriff cannot be 100% sure that the deputy has his best interest at heart, that if he will do anything to get elected. So he may not break any laws, but he may not respond in a timely fashion. He might do things to make the sheriff look bad. So there's that worry. So that deputy sheriff, once he puts his wants and needs first, is no longer serving the needs of the people. And so they fired him. And this is something that sounds weird, but it's been tested in court several times, and the sheriff, the existing sheriff, always wins. Because he needs to know that his deputies are 100% committed to him and the mission. Needed to be allies. See, that's something that is throughout the history of the Bible. If we go back to our BIBLE codebook, God warned the nation of Israel about yoking up with other people, pagan worshipers, because he was afraid that they would be compromised. That in order to make that union between a pagan worshiper and a God follower happen, somebody would have to compromise, and often would be the God follower. And that's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel time and time again. And that's why God would send them into slavery. And then he would bring them back when they repented of their ways. And they said, no, we're going to do it better this time. And then it would happen again and again. God knows that in a marriage, if one person doesn't believe like the other, trouble can arise. Does that unbelieving spouse see your Sunday worship as a threat to your marriage? Does it take away from the time you get to have with them? Are you better than me because you go to church? The time that you spend in small group Bible studies or other activities at church takes away from their time. So will an unbelieving spouse see your faith as being something equally important? Now, one of the best stories I have about this, about not being yoked, is my daughter Julie, when she was getting ready to go to KU Med School, she was at K-State, they told her, one of the things you need to do for your application is to work in a medical facility of some kind to get some background. So she worked as a CNA at St. Joseph's Nursing Home in Manhattan. So one night at work, there was this other guy that was working there for the same reason. He was going to be a chiropractor, and they told him that it would look good on his application if he had some experience working with people. So he came up to her one night. He said, "You're Julie, right?" And she said, "Yeah." And he goes, "I have two questions for you." And she said, "Okay." And she goes, "One, are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Okay, good. Are you a Republican?" Jake was not going to be yoked with somebody who was not like-minded. He wouldn't even ask. If she would have said no, she wasn't a Christian, he was going to turn around and walk away and not even ask her out. But that's this idea that partners be allies. Allies together in a fight for marriage. Now, he's not like any kid that we thought she would ever marry. He is completely the opposite of what we thought she would marry. But they've been married 13 years now. And it's been a great, great marriage. They've had ups and downs. Neither one of them are perfect. But it all started because he wasn't going to be yoked, even for one date, with somebody who didn't believe the way he did. Now, most of you are probably too young to remember the old Sears catalogs. In the Sears catalogs, they used to have, when you would buy an item, like if you were going to buy a lawnmower, it would say, this was a good lawnmower, this is a better lawnmower, this is the best lawnmower. And so we can find a good spouse, somebody who maybe believes, says they believe in Jesus, but they don't have not submitted their life to Christ. That would be a good spouse. At least they're kind of in the same way. A better spouse, the best spouse, would be one that is fully committed to Jesus Christ, who has made Jesus the Lord of their life and has submitted their will to His. That's the best. And that should be your desire. Those of you who are not married yet, that should be your desire, is don't settle for anything less because you feel like your clock is ticking and you're running out of time. Make sure that you are choosing the best building materials. In building a home, if you choose substandard materials, sooner or later, something's going to show itself. There'll be some manifestation of cutting corners. Don't cut corners, don't settle. Now, when we build a house, we want to build as a craftsman and not just a builder, right? I can build just about anything, but it may not meet any codes or standards like, say, what Jason would build at McCollum Construction. All nice, tight, perfect. Glenn told me one time we were talking about painting. He said, anybody can paint or slap paint on a wall, but you have to have a skill or a crafts to be a good painter. So if we're going to build a home, do it as a craftsman. Why not let the one who created everything, seen and unseen, why not let him be the builder of your home? When you build a house, you try to find the best carpenter you can afford, the best cabinets you can afford, the best landscaper and landscaping, all those things. So why not let the Lord build your home? Remember our first verse that we started this whole thing with, Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. So, if the Lord is not involved in this, vain means futile or unsuccessful. It's not going to be a good fit. If the building materials, the two people engaged in starting this family or getting married, are both not submitted their wills to the Lord, we're going to labor in vain. But now, craftsmen also, if people are building, a contractor has subcontractors, they have to work together. It's the same thing in marriage. When two people marry, they both have to work hard at adjusting schedules, decision-making, roles. They have to work to accommodate different relatives, money management, hobbies, goals, sex. All of those things often have to be discussed and settled upon. When a contractor and a subcontractor mess up and get confused or aren't on the same page, what happens? They may put in plumbing 2 days early, and all of a sudden now we got to rip it all out. Or cabinets may show up 5 days early or 5 days late, and it throws everything out of schedule. So in building, the marriage partners have to be able to communicate. Communicate needs. Communicate wants, desires. Do so effectively. Work hard at listening to the other partner so that you understand exactly what they're talking about. Communicate clearly as craftsmen and skilled laborers. Because when there's disagreements, man, it can be a mess if you've ever built a house and had communication problems between contractors and subcontractors. So learn how to do this right. Learn how to fight fairly, right? Don't dredge up the past. Focus on whatever's in front of you, the task at hand. Don't bring anger into your conflict. Learn how to negotiate. Find out what is the most important things. Where are the points that we can find common ground? And then most important in terms of communication and working together as craftsmen is to learn the art of forgiveness. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Put your home, your marriage, and your family in the hands of the one and only craftsman, the Lord God who created everything. Finally, when we build our home, we want to make sure that it's protected against storms and pests. We don't want anything getting in there that can destroy what we've been building, especially in a spring like this. Many people, again, have water in their homes and things are going wrong, even here at our church family. But we need to be protected even from more than storms, but from the storms of life. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, and the storm of life came. They sinned. They disobeyed God. They were kicked out of their home. They got kicked out of their home, and then one of their kids murdered another kid. And so this huge storm comes upon their life. And unfortunately, that can happen in too many marriages. Things like termites, which are so small, can get in and become so dangerous and so infestation of our home. Think about this. This is really an interesting fact. According to the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, more than 80% of divorce lawyers report having seen a substantial uptick in the use of evidence pulled from Facebook, Twitter, and other social networking sites in divorce cases since 2006. Internet, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all of those things are pests. They can be good, but they can also be very destructive to your marriage. In fact, so much that 80% of divorce cases now use information gleaned from your social network pages in your divorce case. Jobs can become one of those. Working more. Do you know that we are the third, we are number three in the number of hours that we work in the whole world, in our country. We work more hours than only two other countries. One of them is Russia. So jobs can become a pest that can get in our way. As we saw, friends, hobbies, all of those things can become. Any unhealthy relationship can be a pest or a storm in your life. Addictions, pornography, drugs, gambling, all of those things, again, can be the pest that can destroy your home. Remember one thing especially about this, if you would, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Love always protects. Always protect your home. Wives, protect your heart. Don't look for unrealistic expectations in your spouse. If you're counting on your spouse again to make you always happy, unrealistic expectation. Guard your heart. Proverbs 14 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. Men, you are the head of the divinely designed home, right? You are the one that has to stand guard against anything in the home that comes in and threatens your wife and your marriage. Do not let anything happen. Hold on one second here. Dakota, okay? All right, let's just stop and pray for Dakota real quick. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. And at this moment right now, Lord, we just lift up Dakota to you. We pray that you would bless him. Whatever is going on, Lord, we ask that you would watch over him and keep him well. We pray for his grandmother, that you would give her patience and understanding. And just right now, keep her calm and watchful for what's going on. Now, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, guys, you are the watchman. Guard your heart and guard against anything that threatens your marriage. That's not always going to be easy. It's going to take a heart of courage to do that. But as allies, take your relationship seriously. Both of you work together to protect your marriage. Be one flesh as we go forward. Allies in keeping in the mission of standing up for family and for marriages in our country today is often difficult. Jesus told a parable about a man who built his house on the sand. And when the storms came, of course, his house washed away. Sand today for us could represent culture, all the different things that are going on in our culture. The other man built his home on the rock, Jesus. And when the storms of life came, his home stood fast. So it's always the question we got to ask, especially for those of you who are contemplating marriage or one day hope to be married, or even if you're married now, are you building your home on the rock? Is that the most important relationship you have in your family at this time? But understand that we are human. So even if we say that we're building on the rock and we got the right foundation, that in our humanity there's still going to be times when cracks show up in our foundation, when things shift a little bit due to culture or relationship issues, make sure that we address those quickly and take care of them. You know, we bought our house again in the fall, and we've last two storms now we've found rain in our basement. They're just microscopic cracks. And so we've had to address those quickly, and we've taken care of most of them, but we're afraid that if we don't take care of those little microscopic cracks where the water's seeping in will eventually become bigger ones. Same thing with your marriages. If it's a little crack, address it, take care of it, communicate, express desires, wants, and needs in keeping with what God has asked us to do as believers. If you're here today and you really haven't built your marriage on the rock, Jesus, it's never too late to do some remodeling or to do some changing the way that we do things. If you're interested, we have a family focus class that's married couples with kids. We have a relationship revival class that's pretty much newlyweds. If you're looking for some people to get yoked with, to be allies with you, we have some older adult classes if you're married and you want to get in there. But the biggest thing I'm trying to encourage you is find people to be allies, to be yoked with, that can help you strengthen your marriage and will help guide you and lead you, help you kind of keep things together. So be yoked with the right people, people who are like-minded. Invest yourself in a group somewhere, somehow, that will help you navigate this crazy thing called family and marriage in a world that is antagonistic towards it in this day and age. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for, one, the gift of marriage that our church will celebrate this summer, and we're thankful that our young people have chosen to be married here in our church family rather than someplace else. Not that that's a bad thing, but to begin your marriage here in the house of God, what a great thing that is. Lord, we pray that you would bless them and each and every one of our families. Watch over their marriages, guard and protect their hearts about anything that would come in and cause destruction and damage to the relationship. For those who are not married yet, Lord, we pray that they would be on the lookout for somebody who believes as they believe, somebody who wants to join them on this journey called faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we pray that you would help us as family, church family, to encourage and to strengthen one another. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that he might be not just our Savior, but that he might also be our Lord, that we would submit our wills to his, and in doing so, all of our relationships would benefit by giving up that one. We bless you. We praise you. We love you. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's stand.